Our lesson tonight is on Isaiah chapter 37, 1 through 38, God's discipling and deliverance of Judah from Assyria. When Assyria finally invaded Judah and threatened the city of Jerusalem, the weak faith in God expressed by King Hezekiah and his officers and people surfaced in such a way that God could address it and offer deliverance. It's interesting how this often happens. If there's a weak faith and many trials come along and people don't respond to the many trials, the Lord is so concerned that we grow in faith that he will allow the trial to enhance. And sometimes he'll let it become overwhelming so that we get to the point where we no longer learn to trust in ourselves but in him. And that's what happened here in this case. Isaiah 37, 1 to 38 details that deliverance, and it provides invaluable lessons for us in the life of faith. What I'm going to do, since we have 38 verses, I'm going to read the verses as we go from section to section. We learned before that had Judah heeded Isaiah, she would have far more easily handled Assyria's invasion. However, Judah lacked such faith at the time. So Isaiah 37, 1 to 38 details the trials of faith that it took to teach Judah of God's desire and ability to deliver her from even the humanly overwhelming threat of Assyria. In verses 1 to 7, God gave Hezekiah and his officials initial encouragement to trust him to handle Assyria. Let me read those verses. Chapter 37, 1 to 7. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, namely the message from Eliakim, Joah, and Shebna about the words from Abshika, that he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children have come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring it forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus you shall say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a spirit literally upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Well, after the Assyrian official Rabshakeh had given a verbal threat to Jerusalem and slandered the Lord outside the Jerusalem city wall, the officials of Judah's king had come to King Hezekiah with a report on the incident. Hezekiah himself rent his own royal clothes and asked an official with the elders of the priests to approach Isaiah for a word from God regarding Rabshakeh's blasphemy against him. It's really sad that Hezekiah has to approach Isaiah and ask for a word from God. God's been given a word all along, but at least now he's asking, and that's good. That's where God wants him to be. When Hezekiah's servants came to Isaiah, he told them that God did not want them to fear the words and the blasphemy against him, for the Lord would send a spirit to motivate the Assyrian king, along with a rumor, to make him return to his own land and there fall by the sword. What's remarkable is that not one word occurs here of God's imminent supernatural slaying of the Assyrian army outside of Jerusalem's walls. It's interesting, God was just getting ready. In fact, that night he was going to kill 185,000 soldiers, but he didn't tell him that. The reason the Lord didn't tell him that is because he's trying to build his faith. He doesn't tell him all the facts. A lot of times God has some wonderful things in store for us. He just doesn't tell us that because he wants us to trust him. If we knew what was coming around the corner, we'd get all excited and it wouldn't be very easy to believe. The Lord doesn't do that. He teases us just enough so that we're supposed to trust him. So anyway, God wanted Hezekiah to trust him with what little information he had given Hezekiah so as to build his faith. Well, the Lord then sent the trial of faith to increase that Hezekiah might himself call on the Lord for help. And he did this in verses 8 to 20. Though Assyria's king had moved from Lachish north to Libna, closer to the city of Jerusalem, in hope that Rabshakeh might have led Hezekiah to surrender, he then heard a rumor that Ethiopia to the south might move against him. creating a threat for Assyria and having to fight Jerusalem and the invading Ethiopians on two fronts, Jerusalem in the north and Ethiopia on the south. He thus intended to threaten Jerusalem again to surrender, to eliminate it as a future front where he had to have to fight the Ethiopians. See, time was of the essence for the Assyrian king. He wanted to get Hezekiah to hurry up and surrender so that he wouldn't have the threat of Hezekiah to his rear as he turned to face the Ethiopians who were coming up fast from the Nile area to get him. So he returned. He sent messengers once again with a letter to Hezekiah, warning him not to be deceived in trusting the Lord's promise that Jerusalem would not be defeated by Assyria. Let's pick it up at verses 8 and then go to verse 10. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard saying concerning Tirhaka, the king of Ethiopia, and we know about this guy from secular records, he's come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran, Rezeph, the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of the Sepharvaim, Hina and Nivah? Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So, the Assyrian king repeated his former claim that since none of the gods of the nations he had conquered were able to protect their people from him, Judah's God could not then protect Judah. Well, deeply troubled at this renewed, enhanced threat from the Assyrians, Hezekiah took the letter to the temple of the Lord. He spread it out before God so God could read it, and he prayed, pouring out his soul to the Lord for his help. It's interesting that he felt that he had to spread the letter out so that the Lord, it was in the form of a scroll, but he spread it out so God could read it. You know, God's already read it. But anyway, it's a priceless little piece. He put it out there. He was really bothered by the letter. He poured it out. Here it is, God, look at it. And then he poured out his heart to the Lord. And notice his wonderful prayer. It's a tremendous prayer that he prayed. Verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. Look at the letter. Hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations in their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. It's too bad that it took this tremendous threat for him to pray such a marvelous prayer. But hey, he's praying it. So, Hezekiah referred to the Lord as creator of the universe and sole God of the kingdoms of the world, who dwelt in the holiest of holies in the temple between the cherubim. And he asked that God hear and see all that Assyria's king had spoken in reproach of the living God. Hezekiah admitted that Assyria's king had laid waste many nations in his latest advance, but that was because their gods were false gods. So Hezekiah sought the Lord as the only true God to save Judah. Well, Isaiah the prophet sent word to Hezekiah, asserting that the king of Assyria had blasphemed the true God, unaware that he had been a mere instrument in God's hands to punish wicked nations. So the Lord would punish Assyria for its sin against him, forcing him to return back to where he had come without harming Jerusalem, while Judah would enjoy peace and blessing. Let me read that, verses 21 to 35. Then Isaiah the son of Abiz sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed unto me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee, that's the king of Assyria, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. And I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet I have dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? This is the Lord speaking, and of ancient times that I formed it. Now I have brought it to pass, that you should be to lay waste defense cities unto ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me, and thy tumult has come up into my ears, therefore I will poke my hook in your nose. That's what you would do to a prisoner. And my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. You shall eat, this is a sign to Judah, you shall eat this year such as grows of itself, and the second year that which springs up of the same, and in the third year sow you and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. In other words, within 3 years you're going to be restored to normal. And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city. He will not shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. For the way that he came, by the same way he shall return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So what you've got at this point is Sennacherib has drawn a line in the sand with God. So God turns around and draws the line in the sand with Sennacherib. Okay, you want to take me on? Fine, I will take you on. And this is what the Lord did. Notice verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord, which we know is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 men. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. That's his capital city. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god. See, he's blaspheming God, but now he's trusting in his god. As he's worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharitzer, his own sons, smote him with the sword. It's amazing, his own god could not keep him and protect him from his own sons. And they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. So, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers outside Jerusalem in one night. This event has actually been corroborated by Herodotus, who is a Greek historian. The Greek historian records that that happened. The Greek historian, according to him, said that there was a plague, a bubonic plague that broke out overnight, and these men caught this and died. Now, whether that was the instrument that God used or not, but it's interesting that the Greek historian himself certified that 185,000 men were killed overnight outside the city of Jerusalem of the Assyrians. Assyria's king then returned to his city in Nineveh, where he was slain by his own sons while he worshipped in the temple of his false god Nisroch, and his sons fled to Armenia so that another man became king. A serious king was thus utterly defeated to where his own false god was helpless to save him, a fitting end for blaspheming the Lord. It's interesting, we have Sennacherib's own record of this whole military campaign. His record talks about attacking this city, that city, this city. When it comes to Jerusalem, at the very end of the record, he says, I shut up Hezekiah like a bird in a cage, and that ends the whole record. No record of defeating Jerusalem, and he just says, I shut him up like a bird in a cage, and then he goes home. Now why? He obviously had to go home because he didn't defeat Jerusalem. And that's by his own testimony. So we have he made this record on a prism. It's a clay prism. It's a, you know, six-sided figure, and then you take a stylus and you write in clay, and then they bake it and make it hard, and that's why it lasts. But his own record shows that he failed to take Jerusalem. So, through rising trials of faith, Hezekiah finally had no choice but to cast himself upon God to be delivered. And boy, haven't we all been there sometime or other. You know, we used to sing a chorus, "Why worry when you can pray?" And sometimes I think we should sing it, "Why pray when you can worry?" Because the tendency is to worry first and then pray later. But anyway, may we trust God at the first sign of trouble and not have to face greater trials to learn to trust him. That's essentially the whole point here. Hezekiah finally got around to it. He finally trusted the Lord. After he'd emptied out the temple of gold and silver to the Assyrians, and it didn't do any good, and God took care of the Assyrians, he destroyed them. He could have kept his gold, he could have kept his silver. Too bad he didn't. He should have just gone to the Lord and prayed in the temple of the Lord first, and then all would have gone. But at least he learned. You know, he had to go through plan B. Plan A didn't work. He went through plan B. This is a very familiar lesson. I know we've been there many times before, but God help us to learn it the first time so that we don't have to go through difficulties to learn of the power of God.